Focus Features. Vulcan Productions. Focus Features and Vulcan Productions present Akella Films, John Wells, Section 8 production. A film by Todd Haynes. A blurry image of red on grey sharpens into the shimmering autumnal leaves on a park tree. Julianne Moore. Dennis Quaid. Dennis Haysbert. Co-starring Patricia Clarkson. Viola Davis. James Rebhorn. Celia Weston. Michael Gaston. Ryan Ward, Lindsay Andretta, and Jordan Perrier. Betty Henritzer, Barbara Gabrick, and Olivia Birkeland. Far from Heaven. Having descended through the trees in a park area, 1950s cars are parked on the curb of a quiet street dominated by an impressive red brick building. Music by Elmer Bernstein. A bright blue and white estate car pulls up outside some local shops. A short while later, a blonde-haired woman and a young girl emerge from one of the stores. The woman helps the child climb into the passenger side of the vehicle before she gets into the driver's seat. The car drives away down a street lined with more trees touched by the autumn. It passes along a picturesque suburban road that's strewn with leaves and stops outside a quaint white-panelled family house. A boy wheels his bike over.
Just tonight? Mrs. Hutchinson gave permission.
Not tonight, David. Your father and I are going out, and I need you to look after your sister.
Oh, shucks.
Now move out of the way so Mother can park.
He begrudgingly does as he's told, and then follows the car up the driveway of the modest home from which a woman appears. Written and directed by Todd Haynes.
Cherry speakers that only cost something like $5 or $6. Please, Mother, please, can I?
Oh, Sybil, thank heavens.
Well, I knew you were going to the grocery.
David, please help Sybil unload the car.
How come Janice doesn't got it?
Doesn't have to, because Janice is carrying in all her belongings and marching straight upstairs into a bath. Now, your father and I have an engagement tonight, so I want you both to have a nice early dinner and help Sybil.
Yes, ma'am.
Sybil, did Mr. Whitaker call while I was out?
No, not since you've been gone.
How do you like that guy?
So, Mother, can I get them?
Janice, I said we'd discuss it with your father. Now, hurry on inside. David, put your bike away and help with the groceries. Where's your jacket?
It's inside.
A pink car pulls up.
Well, hello, stranger. Aren't I seeing you in about 3 hours' time?
You are. But I just left the caterers and I had to dash over.
Oh, do you have the samples?
You bet.
Oh, come inside. You just caught me, actually.
I should only stay a second. I still have loads to do.
David, what did I tell you?
I'm getting the last bag.
And imagine with the table setting I showed you. The aqua trim. Is that smart?
Oh, yes.
You like?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'll call the caterer in the morning. You confirm with Dorothy on the deposit. And, honey, we're in business.
Magnetech 57, here we come.
You betcha.
Thanks for stopping by, Al.
I'll see you at 8.
Well, you know, Frank, on the dot.
Mother?
Uh-huh?
When you're a little girl, you look like me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I grow up, does that mean I'll look like you?
Is that what you want, darling? To look like me?
Yes, I hope I look exactly as pretty as you.
What a lovely compliment coming from my perfectly lovely daughter. Oh, 7:15. Where on earth is your father? Sybil? Did I leave my gloves in the hall table?
Yes, I see them.
You know, it's nearly 20 after. Mr. Whitaker still hasn't phoned. I'm at my wit's end.
Thank you, Sybil. I even tried phoning the office, even though I knew no one would be there. Well, I certainly hope that's him, because if it isn't...
Whitaker residence.
Who is it?
The police department.
Kathy takes the phone.
Hello?
Yes, am I speaking with a Mrs. Frank Whitaker?
Yes.
One moment, please.
An unseen man stops fiddling with a hanky to take the phone.
Kathy?
Oh, Frank. Are you all right? What happened?
Everything's fine. It was all
just a big mix-up. The whole thing. But you have to come get me. They won't let me leave on my own.
Oh, Frank. Don't worry, darling. I'll be there as soon as I can.
Is there anything I can do, Mrs. Whitaker?
Just keep an eye on the children, please. I don't think I'll be very long.
Kathy arrives at the Hartford police station. She's wearing an evening gown and brown fur shawl. An attendant lets her out of a lift on an upper floor. Kathy approaches some officers and sometime later receives a form.
This is your copy, ma'am, and your receipt.
Thank you.
She's folding up the document when Frank is brought out.
Oh, Frank.
I tell you one thing. If it hadn't been for that sniveling junior cop, they had never gone through this whole charade in the first place. Instead of trying to save face, I saw that guy that they were after, that loiterer. But they wouldn't listen to me.
Kathy eyes the road anxiously.
So, there were drinks after work?
What do you mean?
They said something, intoxication levels.
Christ, I had one lousy cocktail with Bill after work going over the portfolio. Should I be arrested for that too?
No, of course not, darling.
The whole thing has just put me in a foul state.
He's fine. Oh, the car's fine. Frank says it was the bumper that got hit, but... You know me, I can't tell the difference. Oh, I'm just sorry we had to miss it.
Kathy bins the police receipt.
She was fine. Said it was all a dreadful bore, what with Mona Lauder and her gossip.
Kathy, I'm sorry.
Darling, you've nothing to be sorry for. It was all just a silly, wretched mistake.
Sitting on the bed in his pajamas, he hugs her and they share loving kisses by the vague light of the bedside lamp.
I'm so tired.
Of course you are. You sleep now.
He squeezes her hand, scooches down in bed, and she pulls sheets up to tuck him in. She switches off the lamp, casting the room in a pale blue hue, and moves into a neighboring room, slowly closing the door behind her.
The bus is here!
Bye! Have a good day at school.
Bye!
Kathy waves to David and Janice as they board a yellow school bus. Indoors, Frank's putting on a long gray trench coat.
I thought you were going to have another piece of toast.
Well, it's late. I should be getting down there.
Well, can I at least fix you lunch?
Oh, no, thank you, dear. I've got lunch meetings all week. It's portfolio season.
Sybil, if that's the milkman, his check is in the drawer.
I'm just glad you're feeling better, dear.
Thank you, darling.
Pardon me, ma'am. Sir.
Mrs. Whitaker, this is Mrs. Leacock. She says she had an appointment with you this morning.
Oh, Jiminy, I completely forgot the time. Please forgive me.
I do apologize, Mrs. Whitaker, but candid views are always the best.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, dear.
Mrs. Leacock.
Pleasure, Mr. Whitaker. Your husband's a very charming man, Mrs. Whitaker.
Oh, thank you. We're rather fond of him ourselves. Now, please, won't you come in? Make yourselves at home. I suppose I still can't imagine why you would want an interview with someone like me in the first place.
Readers of the Weekly Gazette, Mrs. Whitaker. Women just like yourself, with families and homes to keep up. A good society paper need not be a gossip rag. You are the proud wife of a successful sales executive, planning the parties and posing at her husband's side on the advertisements. To everyone here in Connecticut, you are Mr. and Mrs. Magnatech.
Thank you. I'm very flattered. But really, my life is like any other wife or mother's. In fact, I don't think I've
I've ever wanted anything.
What is it, dear?
I think I just saw someone walking through our yard.
Kathy gets up to see a man wander past the window.
What on earth?
She heads outside.
Oh my. Mrs. Whittaker, perhaps you should call the police.
Excuse me. May I help you? Who are you?
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. My name is Raymond Deegan. Otis Deegan's son. I was just taking over some of his...
You're Otis' son.
Yes.
I'm terribly sorry for speaking to you in that manner. I didn't know who was in my yard.
Oh, no need.
How is your father? I know he was in the hospital.
Yes, well, my father's passed away, I'm afraid.
Oh, I had no idea. I'm so very sorry.
Please accept our deepest condolences. Your father was a wonderful, dedicated man.
Thank you.
Mrs. Whittaker, the caterer's on the line.
Oh, thank you, Sybil. I beg your pardon. Would you excuse me for just a moment?
Of course.
Kathy heads back inside.
Mrs. Leacock, I'm terribly sorry. It'll just be 1 minute more.
Fine.
Frank leaves a lift and crosses a lobby in his trench coat and fedora.
Good morning, Megatech International. How may I direct your call?
Good morning, Mr. Whittaker.
Good morning, Kitty. Lovely dress you're wearing.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Marley. Stan.
Good morning, Mr. Whittaker.
So, how's the second best golfer in Hartford this morning?
Somebody break the books already? Oh, don't tell me our wife's party budgets finally came in.
It's almost as fatal as Milstein called. Looks like New York just shaved a week off portfolio deadline.
You've got to be kidding me.
I wish I were.
What are they trying to do, strangle us to death? Does Doug know?
Yeah, called him first thing.
All right. Get Doug and the others and call a portfolio meeting for lunch today. Marlene, see if you can reschedule the production review for dinner. And could you get my wife on the phone, please? Thanks, Dan.
In his large office, Frank puts his briefcase on an armchair. The mug of coffee his secretary gave him is set down on a polished wooden desk, and he does the same with a lighter and a pack of cigarettes. With a heavy sigh, he slumps into a leather chair and sinks his head into his hands, then reaches for a hip flask from a side drawer.
Sir, Mrs. Whittaker is on line one.
Oh, Frank, I'm sorry. No, I understand. I just wish you wouldn't overwork yourself, especially after... I know. I will. See you then. Goodbye, dear.
I'm terribly sorry about all the interruptions. Now, where was it you wanted me?
Just one more at the fireplace. That's it. Now smile.
Isn't that darling?
Hold it.
A neon sign for Sammy's Steakhouse flashes into the night. A group of men emerge from the restaurant.
Well, I guess that about wraps it up. Bob, Rick, gentlemen.
You're sure you're all right getting home, sir?
Thank you, Davis, but as second in command of the USS McMillan, I do feel equipped to locate my own car without cover.
Very good, sir.
Bright and early.
Frank leaves his colleagues and crosses a dark and rain-soaked street. As he strolls by, he eyes a young couple smooching up against the back of a car. Wandering on, he passes a blonde woman.
Where are you headed, Tiger?
Ignoring her, he rounds a corner and pauses across the road from a garish, well-lit sign for Fabian's Ritz, showing Three Faces of Eve, Miracle, and In the Rain.
David, that is the third time I've told you to turn off that infernal racket and go to bed.
Can I please, just this once?
No, you certainly may not, and that is final.
Oh, jeez.
It's not the kind of language we use in this house. Now march. And don't forget to wash your teeth.
David scurries upstairs in his dressing gown, while Kathy heads into the front room and peers outside into the night before drawing the curtains. Frank's in the theater house.
Hi.
Feeling better, huh?
He stands at the back, watching the black and white film. Behind him, a dapper young man puffs on a cigarette before heading up some stairs. Frank looks after him with a troubled frown. As a man changes the Ritz billing sign, Frank files out amongst other patrons and lights up.
Good picture. Yes, I particularly enjoyed the scene in the gentleman's lounge. How about a drink?
Sure.
I know just the spot. I'll bet you know a lovely little establishment.
Having overheard the two men, Frank follows them around a corner.
Quite a colorful.
They pass along a dark, moonlit alley. He stands at the end of the alley as the two men disappear through a doorway. After a moment, he follows them. He peers through a set of darkly coloured curtains before going inside. He finds a dimly lit bar full of men.
Identification, please. Identification, driver's license.
He shows his ID.
Thank you, sir. Have a pleasant evening.
He steps forward and takes a seat on a stool. The bartender comes over to him.
Chester, what can I get you this evening?
Just a scotch.
Yes, sir.
The two men from the cinema are laughing and chatting together at the other end of the bar.
There you are, sir.
A suited man comes to the bar.
One more of the same.
The man stares at Frank, who looks away. After a moment, Frank glances back at him, and the man approaches.
So does the fabled maxim hold that behind every great man there resides a great lady? In this case, wife, mother, and Mrs. Magna Tech herself, Kathleen Whittaker proves that it does. A woman as devoted to her family as she is kind to Negroes.
Negroes?
Let me see that. What on earth is that woman thinking?
Did that come up?
Kathy? Oh, she's been liberal ever since she played summer stock at college with all those steamy Jewish boys. Why do you think they used to call her Red?
Oh, for heaven's sake, let's go inside before Joe McCarthy comes driving by.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I love that scarf.
Oh, I'm sure it just blew behind the house somewhere.
For heaven's sake.
This really isn't your day, is it?
Oh. Do they really call you Red?
Oh, Nancy, honestly? Would anyone like another daiquiri?
Better not. Oh, no, one's my limit.
L? All right, girls, no more beating around the bush. Nancy.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, come on, can't be that bad.
Mike insists on... He insists on once a week.
Aw, you got off easy.
Once a week?
Oh, you're lucky. Ron's more like two or three.
Three, really?
And how?
That's nothing. Girlfriend of mine, Shirley Dawson. Her husband, every night of the week, plus three more times on the weekend. Can you imagine?
Kathy smiles a little uncomfortably. Later, as golden leaves tumble from the trees, her friends say their goodbyes.
It's lovely, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Bye, girls. The chicken was divine.
Oh, thanks, Anne.
I'll call you tomorrow.
All right, bye-bye.
She turns away and begins wandering around the side of the house, her hand lightly touching the lapel of her dress. She's a little startled when she sees Raymond holding her purple scarf that blew away in the wind.
Could this possibly... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you found it.
Yeah, I found it hanging off one of the birches out back.
It was so windy. I was going back into the house and it just sailed off my neck.
Well, I had a feeling it might be yours.
Now, who else could have been so absent-minded?
No, it's the color. Just seemed right.
Well, thank you, Mr. Deegan, for finding it.
Please, call me Raymond.
Thank you, Raymond. Everything looks wonderful, by the way.
Good. I think we got everything pretty much under control.
Well, it can't have been easy, taking over for your father so quickly.
Well, between Pop's business, my shop, and taking care of my little girl, doesn't leave much time for reflecting.
I didn't know you had children.
Oh, just the one. Sarah's her name.
Ah, and how old is Sarah?
11.
Oh, I'm sure she's a lovely child. You and your wife must be very proud.
Well, Mrs. Deegan, my wife, passed away when Sarah was about 5.
Oh, Raymond, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Sarah and I, we do just fine. You know, I got a picture of her somewhere. There she is. That's my Sarah.
Oh, she's darling. Look at those eyes. And what's this I hear about a shop?
Oh, yeah, the plant shop. It's just a little place down on Hawthorne. Started out as a service for gardeners until I opened the store about 6 years ago. And, well, it's the only thing that business degree's been good for yet.
Why, that's marvelous, Raymond. You should be very proud.
Well, I am. If you're ever in the neighborhood, be sure to stop by.
I certainly will.
All right, then.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He watches her as she walks back into the house.
If that's your father, don't worry, Sybil. I'll get it.
Hello? Frank, you haven't left yet?
Oh, no, not again.
All right. Goodbye, dear.
He isn't coming home again?
No, he's going to be late.
Father never wants to come home.
Janice, he most certainly does. He's just very busy at work and under a great deal of strain.
Yeah, shut up.
Janice, that's enough. Sybil, you know what? Wrap up Mr. Whitaker's plate. I'm going to run down to the office and take it to him myself.
All the way downtown?
It's not so very far. Anyway, the children are fine. Knowing Mr. Whitaker, I'm just saving him another night of pretzels and coffee.
Later, Kathy goes to Frank's office.
I'm just dropping something off of my husband on the 12th floor. Mr. Whitaker.
All right.
Thank you.
Now she's gone up in the lift and then walks along a corridor. She edges forward, the only light coming from a few nearby desk lamps.
Frank?
She rounds the corner and sees light coming from underneath one of the office doors.
Oh, Frank. Frank?
She goes in and is startled to see Frank and the man from the bar kissing and in a state of undress. The man hurriedly puts on his jacket and runs out, looking awkwardly at Kathy as he passes her. She turns back to see Frank in the doorway.
Kathy.
She runs back along the corridor and presses the button to open the lift doors. She goes in and the doors close behind her. Looking utterly bewildered, her gaze shifts agitatedly around the lift. Back at the house, everything seems quiet. The edge of Kathy's blonde hair is just visible behind the curtains as the lights from a car shine across the front of the house. Frank wanders in. Kathy's sitting on the sofa, staring into space. He looks over at her and continues on for a few paces before stopping.
Mr. Maynard left an estimate for the roof. I put it in the kitchen. $1,200 something.
Kathy.
I can't.
I don't.
What?
You see, once, a long time ago, a long, long time ago, I had, problems. I just figured that was it. I never imagined.
You had problems?
Yes.
You, never spoke to anyone? A doctor?
No.
No one? I don't understand.
Neither do I.
What if, I mean, there must be people who...
I don't know.
Because otherwise, I don't know what I...
Kathy. All right.
She looks at him pleadingly.
Thank you.
He lets out a sigh as he turns and heads up the stairs. She watches him for a moment before turning away. Another day. The Whittaker's turquoise and white car rounds the corner into a square. Now Kathy is waiting on the pavement, looking for something in her bag. The sky lightens when she sees a young couple kissing on a bench in the park opposite. She shakes away her thoughts and turns to see Frank walking towards her.
Mr. and Mrs. Whittaker, this is Dr. Bowman.
Mr. Whittaker, how do you do?
Hello.
Mrs. Whittaker, how lovely.
Thank you.
Well, I suppose we may as well get started. Well, actually, Mrs. Whittaker, I think it might be best if your husband and I conversed in private.
In private, yes, of course.
I think it would be best.
Oh, certainly, Doctor. I'll see you later.
I'll see you later, dear.
Frank and Dr. Bowman go into the surgery. Kathy's left alone, and she takes a seat in the waiting room.
Today, the general attitude regarding this sort of behavior is naturally more modern, more scientific than it ever has been before. But for those who do seek treatment, who possess the will and desire to lead a normal life, there still remains only a scant 5% to 30% rate of success for complete heterosexual conversion. For many, it's the treatment itself that often changes a patient's mind.
What does it comprise of, the treatment?
The treatment's usually comprised of psychiatric sessions twice a week, sometimes more.
Or just talking?
Yes, though some patients have explored additional, more behavioral methods.
Behavioral?
Electroshock aversion therapy, for instance, or hormonal rebalancing procedure. I know this can all seem rather daunting at first. I suggest you take some time. Think over the various options we've discussed. Discuss it with your wife.
No, I already know. I want to begin treatment. I can't let this thing destroy my life. My family's life. I I know it's a sickness because it makes me feel despicable. I promise you, Dr. Bowman, I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to break it. So help me God.
Why don't you go ahead and confirm those times we discussed with Rosalind? I'll see you here same time next Tuesday.
Thank you, Doctor.
Mr. Whitaker. Mrs. Whitaker.
Thank you, Doctor.
Frank puts on his coat and hat and is followed by Kathy into the lift. She looks up at him and smiles.
Frank?
What?
I'm just proud of you, that's all.
Don't say that.
Well, I am. And he seems a very decent man, Dr. Bowman, don't you think? Frank?
I don't know, Kathleen. I suppose he's decent.
But you must have liked him enough to want to see him again.
Who else am I going to see?
Well, I'm sure there are numerous doctors at Hartford or Springfield if you want
to start... Look, I just want to get the whole fucking thing over with. Can you understand that?
Frank, please don't.
I'm sorry. All right, Kathy, I'm so sorry.
He embraces her, and golden leaves swirl around their feet. Another day, and Frank's at the office.
Good morning, Mr. Whitaker.
Kitty?
I hope you have a pleasant day, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Whitaker.
Marlene?
I found this in the cupboard, sir.
What's that?
Your office lamp, the one that was missing?
Ah.
Should I have it repaired, sir?
Yes, thank you, Marlene.
Mr. Whitaker, Mr. Fine's been waiting.
He shuts the door.
Frank?
Huh?
I didn't see you sitting there.
Everything all right?
Oh, with me?
Of course.
What's up?
Just picked up the galleys from the printer.
How do they look?
Great. Just great.
Well, just leave them there and I'll take a look first chance I get.
Sure. You'll let me know what you think?
Of course I will. You're first on my list.
So what's it going to take to get you back on that course anyway? We haven't seen you for weeks.
I know.
Sunday. No excuses.
All right.
I'll hold you to it.
Thanks again, Al.
You sure that's all I can give you?
Oh, yes. The caterer should have everything. I just thought a few extras would be nice.
Oh, don't forget, the art show's Saturday. Start working on Frank tonight.
I swear, he's the kind of man you have to pin messages to.
Though I'm sorry to say, Mona Lauder will be attending. Turns out her uncle's in town, some hotshot art dealer from New York. I think I met him at one of Mona's soirees. Bit flowery for my taste.
How do you mean?
Oh, you know, a touch light on his feet.
Oh, you mean...
Yes, darling, he's one of those. Of course, I could be mistaken, just an impression I got. Mm-hmm.
You don't care for them particularly?
Well, no, not particularly. Not that I actually know any. Call me old-fashioned. I just like all the men I'm around to be all men. Say, why the third degree?
It's not the third degree. I'm just interested, that's all, in your views. I read an article in a magazine.
What? Nothing. I'm just delighted to see you taking interest in yet another civic cause. I can see it now. Kathleen Whitaker and her kindness to homosexuals.
Oh, that word.
See you Saturday, and bring Frank.
I'll try.
Then Billy Hutchinson stole a pass at the 10-yard line, ran it all the way for a touchdown. You should have seen it, Pop.
Father, want to see my routine for the ballet recital?
Hey, I was talking to Pop.
Children, give your father a moment to eat his dinner. Would you like another lamb chop, dear?
Oh, I'm fine.
Are you sure? I have plenty in the oven.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
We're playing Lincoln on Saturday, Pop. If you're not working.
Oh, heavens, that reminds me. This Saturday is the reception for the Modern Art Show I told you about, the one that Eleanor's group is sponsoring.
Oh, God.
I know how you hate these things, but I simply have to go, and Eleanor pleaded with me to ask you.
Wait, what about me? No one cares one bit what I'm doing Saturday.
David, I'm sorry, but this Saturday your mother has an engagement that simply cannot be changed.
Well, Pop could come. Couldn't you, Pop?
We'll see, David.
Kathy turns to her daughter.
Janice, could you please pass the butter?
In Kathy and Frank's bedroom.
Frank?
Hmm?
Did you see him?
Yeah.
He didn't say a word. So how did it go with Bowman?
It was fine.
And there's nothing else you care to share with your very own adoring wife?
Kathleen, what I discuss with this doctor, it's private, all right? That's part of it.
Oh, I understand, darling. I do. Oh, Frank, where do you see the hors d'oeuvres? Cater is doing just such a marvelous job. I think you're going to be so pleased this year, darling. I really do.
Now, Kathy hurries into a red brick civic building. She's handed a leaflet as she heads inside a room which is filled with artwork.
Eleanor, darling, I'm so sorry I'm late.
Kathleen.
Hello, Mona.
Darling. I want to introduce you to my Uncle Morris Farnsworth. He's a wickedly successful Gotham art dealer. He was kind enough to attend our provincial little gathering. Morris, darling, allow me to introduce you to my dear little friend, Kathleen Whittaker, whose face and civic fancies are hardly strangers to the society pages of Hartford.
Oh, Mona, really? You must ignore him, Mr. Farnsworth.
Charmed.
I do hope you enjoy your stay.
Morris was just telling us the most delightful tale all about a forged Rembrandt.
Kathy, darling, don't let us keep you. I know you want to see the show.
I am dying to see it.
Oh, yes, dear. Simply charming. Eleanor, you should be so proud.
Thank you, Mona.
It was lovely to meet you, Mr. Farnsworth.
Likewise, my dear.
Kathy's staring at one of the paintings when she's suddenly caught unawares by a camera flash.
Wife of Hartford executive communing with Picasso?
Oh, Miss Leacock, it's lovely to see you again.
And how is that charming husband of yours?
Oh, he's very well, thank you. Would you excuse me just a moment?
Oh, certainly do.
Thank you. Raymond, what a tremendous surprise finding you here.
Mrs. Whittaker, hello.
Is this your daughter?
Yep, this is my Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hey, Sarah. Isn't that Hutch and his little brother I see playing out front? You remember them, don't you, baby? Oh, sure you do. The day we went to the Hutchinson house?
Oh, yeah.
What do you say you go out and see if they'd like to play for a while? Ah, go on. For Daddy? Atta girl.
Oh, Raymond, she's lovely.
Thank you.
Well, how on earth did you find out about this show?
Well, I do read the papers.
Well, no, of course you do. I just meant that it's a coincidence.
I know, I was just teasing you.
Because, you know, I'm not prejudiced. My husband and I have always believed in equal rights for the Negro and support the NAACP.
I'm glad to hear that.
I just wanted you to know.
Well, thank you.
Oh, not at all.
Go. Straighter, Tommy. You gotta throw it straighter. And hard. One, two, three, go.
It's too heavy.
What?
On the back, your airplane.
Who asked you? Come on, Bobby.
The three boys walk straight past Sarah. Kathy and Raymond are looking at one of the pieces of abstract art.
So what's your opinion on modern art?
It's hard to put into words, really. I just know what I care for and what I don't. Like this, I don't know how to pronounce it. Miro. I don't know why, but I just adore it. The feeling it gives. I know that sounds terribly vague.
No, actually, it confirms something I've always wondered about modern art, abstract art.
What is that?
That perhaps it's just picking up where religious art left off, somehow trying to show you divinity. The modern artist just pares it down to the basic elements of shape and color. But when you look at that mural, you feel it just the same.
Well, that's lovely, Raymond.
To tell the truth, I've always preferred the work of the masters. Rembrandt, Michelangelo.
Would you excuse me a moment?
Oh, certainly.
Kathleen. Oh, Elle, honey, everything looks just marvelous.
Kathy, who on earth is that man? You have this whole place in a clamor.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, why? Because of that ridiculous story.
Who is he?
He's Raymond Deegan, Otis Deegan's son.
Your gardener?
He passed away and Raymond's taken over his business.
Oh, you certainly seem on familiar terms with him.
Oh, familiar terms? What does that mean? You know, he happens to have some very interesting views on Miro. Oh, jeepers, look at the time. I have to fly. I'm having the carpets cleaned for tomorrow.
What time are the caterers showing?
They said 4.
I'll come early for moral support.
You're a doll.
Later, cars park in the road outside Kathy and Frank's house. Inside, smartly dressed party guests are mingling as Kathy greets her friends.
Not to say that I'm against integration, mind you. I do believe it's the Christian thing to do. But I still say what happened in Little Rock could just as easily have happened here at Hartford.
Nonsense.
Well, why is that?
Well, for one thing, there's no Governor Faubus in Connecticut. But the main reason? There are no Negroes.
No, but there are some rather dangerous pro-integration types right here in Hartford.
Dangerous?
Oh, yes. Some very attractive ones, in fact. Noted, I'm told, for their kindness to Negroes.
Oh, Dick, stop. Where on earth did you hear about that?
Shirley read it to me.
I should have known.
What's all this?
Absolutely nothing. Now, let me freshen those. Excuse me, please.
One of the guests.
Oh, by golly, there she is now, the purtiest gal in her room.
Dan, liquor brings out the Texan in you. I hope Eleanor isn't listening.
So what if she is? I still say Frank is the luckiest guy in town.
Hear, hear.
It's all smoke and mirrors, fellas. That's all it is. You should see her without her face on.
Frank? No, he's absolutely right. We ladies are never what we appear, and every girl has her secrets.
I'll say.
How about this girl going and getting her husband another drink?
Darling, don't you think you've already had it?
No, I don't think I've had it.
I'd just like to take a moment to raise a glass to our marvelous host and hostess and another glorious annual party at the Whitakers. To Frank and Kathy, truly Mr. and Mrs. Magnatech.
My goodness, thank you very much. Now, who can I freshen up? Ron?
No, I'm fine.
Not me.
Oh, I think you're fresh enough. All right.
Hey, Mrs. Whitaker, let me take that.
Oh, thank you, Sybil. Kathy. Hi.
Honey, is everything all right?
Why? What do you mean?
Frank, I've never seen him so soused.
Oh, he's been working so hard lately. He's under tremendous strain.
You sure that's all?
Oh, yes.
You'd tell me if there was anything more.
Of course I would.
Well, Kit, I think we just threw ourselves one class A swanky function.
It did turn out nicely, didn't it?
Kathleen, darling, you've simply outdone yourself once again.
Thank you so much.
Later, the guests have gone. Frank's in the living room.
Frank?
She puts down the two empty glasses she's carrying.
Well, if I do say so myself, it was a lovely party, all considering.
She walks around behind his armchair, then stands in front of him.
I just wish it didn't have to turn ugly in front of our friends. Honestly, Frank, if you didn't insist on... What is it?
He clutches her to him and kisses her passionately.
Frank.
couple move to the sofa. He lays her down and climbs on top of her. She pulls his face to her and they continue to kiss.
Jesus!
What's happening? I can't even... God!
It doesn't matter. The important thing is to keep trying.
Don't!
What?
Because... I'm sure... You know, Dick Dawson wouldn't mind lending his services every once in a while.
Oh, Frank.
I mean, you wouldn't mind that so much, would you? Good-looking guy like Dick. Maybe even stand the pitch in.
Frank, you're the only man that I've ever wanted.
Well, just let go.
Frank, you're all men to me. You're all men.
Stop it!
He slaps her.
Sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I'm all right. It's an accident.
Are you bleeding?
Oh, it's just the littlest bit. Perhaps you could get me some ice here.
Some ice?
Yes.
Kathy.
I know. It's all right. I'm all right.
Frank hurries off, whilst Kathy dabs at her face with a handkerchief. The next morning, Kathy's brushing her hair down over her forehead. From the window, she sees Elle approaching the house. She picks up a silver dinner service and opens the front door.
Hey there, hon. Listen, I can't stand meeting Stan for lunch at the club.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Can't believe I let you get away without these.
It's cute, your hair that way.
Oh, yeah, I experimented.
Oh, it's adorable.
Whoopsie.
Thanks. Kathy?
What?
What happened to your head?
Oh, nothing. I hit the door. It was the silliest thing.
Kathy.
What?
Did something happen between you and Frank?
What do you mean?
Kathy, I'm your best friend.
Nothing happened. Nothing at all.
Kathy.
Honor.
Kathy. I'm your dearest and closest friend in the world. You call me day or night. You hear?
As both ladies hold back tears, Elle turns and starts to walk away. Kathy steps forward and seems to be about to speak, but changes her mind. She hurries behind a bush, and now, out of Elle's sight, begins to sob. Raymond hears her and looks up from his gardening.
Mrs. Whittaker? Is there anything I can do?
She waves her hand, but he approaches her slowly.
Sure.
I'm fine. I just, it's a difficult time with my husband.
Oh, it happens with married people.
I know it does. I just embarrassing. Please forgive me.
Forgive you? Mrs. Whittaker, listen. I have to pick up some shrubs from a farmhouse just out of town, which means I gotta get a move on. Why don't you come along for the ride? Some fresh air, change of scenery? Might help you take your mind off things.
Oh, no, I couldn't. Thank you, Raymond, for offering. You're very kind.
You sure?
Whitaker?
Yes, Sybil?
It's Mrs. Barker on the phone.
I'll be right there. Oh.
She dabs her eyes.
I have to get back.
Okay. He watches her go.
Oh, not at all. Well, I was planning on picking them up at 5. Oh, you like to switch for Thursday? I don't see why that would be a problem. No, I'm glad I could be of help. Certainly. Bye now.
She puts down the phone and looks out the window. Later, Raymond's loading his pickup. As Kathy goes out to him, Sybil watches from a window.
Raymond.
Mrs. Whitaker.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, wouldn't you know it, I just received a call and suddenly everything's changed. Anyway, I...
You changed your mind? Well, good.
Sybil pushes back the curtain as the two drive off together. They drive through beautiful, autumn-touched countryside.
Thank you.
Having arrived at the farm, Kathy stands by a fence beneath a canopy of green and golden brown leaves. Raymond walks towards her, holding a beautiful shrub.
Oh, it's lovely. What is it?
Amamelis. Well, flowering witch hazel. Fairly rare in these parts.
It's beautiful. You were right. What a perfectly lovely spot. Is that a path?
I think so.
Let's have a peek.
All right.
Kathy and Raymond walk down the tree-lined path together.
Sometimes it's the people outside our world. We confide in best.
But once you do confide, share with someone, they're no longer really outside, are they? Oh, look. How lovely.
They crouch down next to a small brook.
Did he cause that?
She touches her hair nervously.
He didn't mean to strike me.
I'm so sorry.
No. Heaven knows we all have our troubles. I'm sure you yourself...
What?
I don't know. Ever since running into you at the exhibition, I kept wondering what it must be like to be... the only one in the room, colored or whatever it was, how that might possibly feel. I'm sure I've never...
Well, I suppose you sort of grow accustomed to it over time. I mean, don't get me wrong. There is a world, even here in Hartford, where everybody does indeed look like me. Trouble is, very few people ever leave that world. Only what every father wants for his child. The opportunities growing up I never had.
Naturally.
I'll tell you something, if you're really interested.
Oh, I am.
You hungry? I mean, could you eat something?
I suppose I could.
Tell you what, I'm gonna take you to one of my favorite spots. On good days, it's got hot food, cold drink, and just about discernible music.
It's hard to beat that.
There you go.
Later, they pull up at a restaurant called Egan's. Opposite is a car wash.
Say, Green
Ansel. Here I am.
Oh, there you are, ma'am. Let me get that boy.
As Mona gets in her car, she spots Raymond and Kathy together. She lifts up her veil, stares and mutters, "Oh my God," to herself. She tips the man who closes the car door for her.
Oh, thank
you very much indeed.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh my God!
Let me help you with that, ma'am.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm hardly dressed for a restaurant.
You look fun.
The tables are all occupied by black patrons.
Raymond.
Don't worry. This is a very friendly place. And say there, Esther. What? You can't say hello anymore?
Looks like you're speaking just fine for yourself.
Oh, you know, you're just sore because I haven't been coming around like I used to.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you say about bringing us over a couple of drinks? What would you like?
Oh, a daiquiri, if they...
One daiquiri and a bourbon on the rocks. Thank you, doll.
One of the customers stands as they walk by.
What do you think you're doing, boy?
Raymond pulls out a chair and Kathy sits.
Thank you.
He takes the seat opposite her.
Well, I hope you're finding this very amusing.
What do you mean? This is a very welcoming place. How you doing, Gus? See what I mean?
Thank you.
Esther hands them menus and drinks.
Thank you, Esther. Used to being the only one. You know, we don't have to stay here if you feel uncomfortable.
No, as long as I stay away from Esther, I think I'll be fine.
All right, then.
He turns towards the dance floor, where a couple have started dancing. He watches them with a warm smile.
Thank you, Raymond. For a lovely afternoon.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Whitaker. I've had one as well.
Mrs. Whitaker sounds so formal. Would you?
What I want?
Ask me to dance.
He looks at her tenderly, then gets to his feet and helps her up. They draw the attention from the men at the bar as they head for the dance floor. The couple take hands and begin to move gently to the music. A slowly rotating mirror ball above their heads throws glitters of golden light around the room. Two other couples dance nearby, but Kathy and Raymond only gaze at one another.
Looks wonderful. Now, let's see. Where should we put it? Oh, I know. Right there, right by the window. Yes. Yes, that's lovely.
It certainly is.
Oh, now, let's see. Where did I put that list? Although I promised Janice that I wouldn't be late for her recital.
Can't miss that.
Sybil, I've been meaning to ask you.
Yes, ma'am?
What's the name of that church group you belong to, the one you mentioned to me?
You mean at Ebenezer, the Baptist school?
Yes, I believe that's it.
Or was it South Green Baptist during the fair drive, the ladies' auxiliary?
Oh, I didn't know there was more than one.
Yes, I always seem to be signing up for something.
I think that's marvelous, Sybil, that you find the time with all you do for us. I just have so much in the attic that I've been meaning to go through, and I thought you might know of a church or a civic organization that could use a donation.
Well, certainly, Mrs. Whitaker, if that's what you're looking for. Places in need are never hard to find.
Oh, I'm sure you're right about that.
My, hello. May I help you?
Good afternoon, ma'am. Allow me to introduce myself. My name's Reginald Carter, and this is Martha Livingston. We're members of the Hartford branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Oh, well, certainly. I am familiar with your organization.
Perhaps you'd be interested in reading over our complimentary brochure.
Yes, I would.
If you wouldn't mind signing our roster.
I'm running so terribly late as it is. Sybil, would you mind signing for me?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Kathy's driving when something ahead seems to take her attention. She smiles when she passes Deegan Garden Shop. Later, she's bought some groceries. The passers-by seem to be staring. Now she's hurrying into the ballet school. There's a sign on the door that reads, "Recital today." Inside, six girls are on stage performing their routine to a small audience. Kathy looks towards the stage and smiles. Janice points to a group of girls with their mothers. They stare back suspiciously. Kathy stares back with a protective arm around her daughter. Now back at the house, Janice runs up the stairs. She puts down her bag and answers the phone.
Hello?
Kathy.
Elle?
Oh, Kathy, thank heavens you're home. I've been trying you all day.
Elle, what is it?
So you haven't heard? You haven't heard a thing?
No, what happened?
Oh, Kathy, there's been talk, vicious talk. What do you mean? About what? About you.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what now?
Oh, honey, it's Mona. Kathy, she's... Well, she's just been on some kind of rampage, swearing up and down that she saw you and a colored man somewhere out on Franklin, getting out of a truck or some such thing. The same colored man she claims you were talking to at the art show.
Eleanor, that's preposterous. I mean, yes, I've spoken to Mr. Deegan on occasion, but this makes it sound like...
I know. You have no idea what it's been like around here. The phone has been ringing off the hook since 8 o'clock this
Eleanor,
morning.
Eleanor, the entire situation is so absurd.
Darling, I know.
What in the world am I supposed to do?
I suppose you could start by getting yourself another gardener.
Frank, what on earth? Eleanor, could I call you back? Frank just walked in.
Of course, you go ahead.
I'll call you later. Frank? What are you doing home? Is everything all right?
Just tell me one goddamn thing.
What?
Is it true, what they've been saying?
Oh, Frank, I can't believe you even...
Because if it is, even in the slightest,
Frank.
I swear to God, Kathleen...
Frank, I am sorry you even had to hear such nonsense.
Yeah, well, Dick Dawson didn't seem to think it was such nonsense when he snuck away from his desk to phone me today.
Good heavens.
He says the whole friggin' town's talking.
Frank, please, Sybil will hear you.
I sent her out. Christ, Kathleen, do you even have the slightest idea about what this could mean? Don't you realize the effect this could have on me and the reputation I have spent the past 8 years trying to build for you and the children and for the company?
Frank, I swear to you, whatever Mona Lauder saw or thought she saw was entirely a figment of that woman's hateful imagination. Yes, I have spoken to Raymond Deegan on occasion. He brought his little girl to Eleanor's art show, but apparently, even here in Hartford, the idea of a white woman even speaking to a colored man...
Oh, please, just save me the Negro rights!
You know what that woman is capable of! Besides, I've already given him notice, and we won't be seeing that man again.
Frank sips his drink.
Fine.
She stares at him as he pours himself another.
Is that why you came home? Because of what Dick said?
Did something happen at work? Frank.
I guess you could call it some sort of early Christmas bonus.
What do you mean?
A month of rest and relaxation. Can you imagine? During the busiest season of the year. What a goddamn honor. But when you consider the bang-up job I've been doing ever since good old Dr. Bowman came on the scene, and for being, what did Milstein call it, years overdue.
They do owe you a vacation after all you've given them.
Palm Springs is supposed to be nice, so says the word on high.
I know it may not seem like it now, but a little time away, a vacation, it might be the best thing. Both of us. Frank, what a wretched day it must have been for you.
Say, what do you know? Pop's home. What you doing home, Pop?
David, your father has work to do. It's best you help yourself to a glass of milk and get started straight away in your studies.
Yes, Mother. Say, Pop.
Mind your mother, David.
Yes, sir.
Now, at the top of the stairs, Kathy stops and lets out a heavy sigh. At the garden shop...
Say, Mr. Deegan?
Yes, Jake?
There's a lady on the phone for you.
I'll be right there.
Now, Raymond is waiting in a diner. Hearing the door chime, he looks over and sees Kathy coming in.
Thank you for meeting me. I realize you have a busy schedule.
Worked out fine. I was glad you called. Are you sure everything's all right?
Is there something I can do for you folks?
Can we leave here?
Of course.
Now they're outside the Ritz Cinema.
What is it? What happened?
I wanted to see you in person, Raymond. I can't.
Can't what?
It isn't plausible for me to be friends with you. You've been so very kind to me, and I've been perfectly reckless and foolish in return, thinking...
Thinking what? That one person could reach out to another? Take an interest in another? Maybe for one fleeting instant could manage to see beyond the surface, beyond the color of things.
Do you think we ever really do see beyond those things, the surface of things?
Just beyond the fall of grace, behold that ever-shining place. Yes, I do. I don't really have a choice.
I wish I could. Good luck to you, Raymond.
Mrs. Whitaker.
You boy! Hands off! Yeah, you!
Raymond, please don't.
She looks up at him pleadingly.
You're so beautiful.
She walks away under the watchful gaze of the crowd gathered outside the movie theater. The bystander leaves, scowling at Raymond suspiciously. Raymond's motionless as he gazes at Kathy. Janice has opened a pair of ballet shoes.
Oh, Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
Now I'll be as good as all the other girls in class.
Here you are, darling. Just the way you like it.
Hey, Pop, look at the steam engine.
Wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. I knew I was forgetting something. A little something for Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
Well,
what have we here?
Travel brochures.
Bermuda, Acapulco, Rio, Miami.
Take your pick. It's your choice.
Mother, will you help me lace up my slippers?
In a minute, dear.
I don't know. Stan is always raving about Miami.
Oh, Frank. Miami would be a dream. Elle says it's just darling. Everything's pink.
Oh, really? Maybe we ought to consider Bermuda.
Frank, I do love you, darling. Mwah. I do.
A sign reads, New Year's Eve in Miami. Celebrate as 1958 arrives in our terrace restaurant. As a band, all dressed in pink dinner jackets, play their music, couples dance under glowing lanterns. Amongst them are Kathy and Frank.
Extremely fetching, all gussied up in your white tux and tie.
Well, it's a good thing since I can hardly breathe in it.
Oh, it's not that bad. You like my dress?
Why, yes. Very much, didn't I say?
You did not.
Well, it's a ravishing dress with a ravishing girl to go with it.
That's more like it.
Very nice. They wander through, arm in arm, into the restaurant.
Right this way, children. We're over here.
Excuse us.
No problem at all.
Frank exchanges a glance with a blonde man.
You have a lovely family.
Thank you. Have a happy new year.
Happy new year.
Oh, Kenny, dear darling, in person.
Ladies and gentlemen, the
Thank
time
you.
Has come. That's right. For the countdown into the new year.
Must be almost time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, darling.
They kiss.
Happy New Year, dear.
Another day. Frank's beside a swimming pool, wrapping himself in a robe.
Where do you want it?
He sees the family from the night before across the water. Suddenly, a black child runs into the pool, chased after by one of the hotel staff.
Oh, Karen.
You know you're not supposed to go in there. Now, what did I tell you about going in that pool? You know you're not supposed to go in there.
Frank goes over to Kathy.
Donna? Hello there.
Well, hello.
Nice swim, darling. Isn't the sun just marvelous? Mm-hmm.
Donna! What? Time to get out.
But why?
Because I said so.
The pool area has emptied, apart from the family. Kathy and Frank look over.
That does it. I've had quite enough fashion advice for the afternoon. I do believe it's time for my Ms. Mitchell. Oh, heavens.
What?
I think I left it upstairs. So silly.
You want me to go get it?
No, you just sat down.
Oh, no, I don't mind.
You sure?
Yeah, I have to get a paper anyway.
Thank you, darling. I think it's right there on the nightstand.
He blows her a kiss and goes inside. The blonde man watches him. In his room, Frank's looking in the mirror when he becomes aware of a presence. The blonde man is standing in the doorway. Frank gazes at the man's reflection before turning to look at him directly. The man touches his chest through his robe and lets his hand run down his body. Frank looks on intensely. Eventually, Frank starts to slowly edge forward. At the side of a sports field, the three boys from the art gallery are smoking. They see Sarah approaching.
Hey, Hodge, look.
What?
She's dressed in her uniform and clutching some books.
Hey, fellas. Look who's coming. It's Daddy's girl. Hey there, Daddy's girl. Where do you think you're going?
Home.
Home to see your daddy? Yeah, and his white girlfriend. Hey, where are you going? We just want to play.
Sarah breaks into a run, and the boys follow her. Halfway up a set of steps, she looks back and sees the boys chasing towards her. She drops her books and thinks about going back for them, but the boys are too close. Eventually, she finds herself at a dead end.
Uh-oh, wrong turn, Daddy's girl.
Hey, Daddy's girl, over here.
Yeah, she made a wrong turn, all right. Just like her daddy.
The boys start throwing rocks, and one of them hits her on the head, and she collapses. The boys all look terrified and run off.
They're here! I see their car, and they're here!
Welcome home, Mr. and Mrs. Whitaker.
Oh, my goodness, what a lovely greeting.
Hi, Pop.
Hey, Mother.
Hey.
So Mother wasn't dreaming?
Oh, listen to you, dreaming.
Did you have a nice time, Mr. Whitaker?
Yes, Sybil, it was very relaxing.
Say, Pop.
Hey, David, help Sybil with the luggage, please.
Pop, you'll never guess what happened at school this week. Try and guess.
David.
I give up.
I'm helping Mother.
Billy Hutchinson and these two other boys all got expelled from school.
I think you mean suspended.
No, expelled, I swear, for throwing a rock at a girl's head.
That's terrible. A little girl at school?
No, she was a Negro.
What? Who told you such a thing?
Tommy Hawkins. He saw us, so he had to tell the principal.
Sybil, is this true?
Yes, ma'am, I'm afraid it is.
What on earth has gotten into this town?
It was just a couple of foolish kids.
Yeah, Hutch said that they were just trying to teach her a lesson.
Well, I think it's dreadful, and you're not to play with that Hutch boy again. Do you understand me?
Yes, ma'am.
David, while you're up, how about flipping on the set for your old man?
Sure, Pop.
Now, upstairs, Kathy's looking through a telephone directory. She reads along a line and starts dialing a number.
Mother, how do you spell skirt?
Just a minute, dear. Mother's making a call. Oh, yes. Hello. I was wondering if you could help me, possibly. I just received your brochure, which I found extremely informative, and I was curious about what was entailed precisely in your volunteer program in terms of particular skills and so on. You see, I can hold.
Father's home.
Frank, what happened to the match?
Oh, my shoulder. It started acting up. I just couldn't sit there any longer.
You didn't say anything.
Father, I did the splits today. I want to see.
Janice, your father just walked in the door and you have schoolwork to finish.
Yes, Mother.
You know, Frank, you never had that physical. I think you're due for one. Can I call Dr. Ellis? You know, it's been 3 years. What did I tell you? That the pediatrician thinks that Janice is going to need braces.
Father, do I have to?
Apparently our little girl has an overbite.
Pop, you'll never guess what I'm doing.
David, where is your coat?
It's in the garage.
And what's it doing there?
I'm waxing Pop's car. It's gonna look swell, Pop.
How many times do I have to tell you children you are not permitted outdoors in this kind of weather unless you're properly dressed?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I give up. If you want to go and catch your death of cold, then so be it. You try talking some sense into them, Frank, because whatever I say doesn't...
Frank sobbing gently.
Frank. What's the matter?
The children stare at their father.
God.
David, Janice, go upstairs to your rooms.
Now. Now.
The children run upstairs, Janice in floods of tears.
Frank, what is it?
Kathy, something's happened.
What?
I've fallen in love with someone. Who wants to be with me? Kathy. I never knew what that felt. But I know that sounds so cruel, but... Oh, God, Kathy, I tried. I tried so hard to make it go away. I thought that I could do it for you and for the kids. I can't. I can't.
I assume then you'll be wanting a divorce.
She looks at him for a moment, then slowly walks away. She stops and stares into space. Now she's dialing a number on the telephone.
Eleanor. Eleanor, it's me, Kathy.
Snow is falling as Kathy chats with Elle.
Kathy. So you see, Elle, and why I couldn't tell you anything. Anything at all.
Oh, you dear sweet kid. In a million years, I couldn't have imagined. Not Frank.
I think that's what's been hardest of all. The endless secrecy. Our entire lives just shut in the dark.
Are there savings?
None to speak of. Certainly not with Frank's job on the line.
Well, honey, if there's anything you need, anything at all.
Oh, Elle.
I mean it. We're here, all right.
Thank you, Elle. For always having been.
She goes to the window.
You know, it's funny.
What's that?
This whole time, the only person I was able to talk to about any of this was Raymond Deegan.
What?
It's true. Not in the way that Mona intended, nothing like that, but we would just talk. And somehow it made me feel, I don't know, alive somewhere. Eleanor, I know it's ridiculous and mad, but I think of him. I do. What he's doing, what he's thinking. I do.
Elle picks up her cup and starts walking away.
Elle?
What can I say? You're so full of surprises, I'm speechless.
What do you mean?
I'm sure I must have looked entirely the fool crusading away against Mona Lauder and all her so-called inventions.
Eleanor, how could you say such a thing?
I didn't say a word. Who am I to tell anyone how to lead their lives?
Eleanor, nothing happened between us. I told you that.
Kathy, it's none of my business. But you certainly make it sound as if something had.
Later, Kathy's walking through the dimly lit living room of her house. She looks at the witch hazel in its vase.
Mrs. Whittaker?
Oh, Sybil.
I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am. I just...
Yes, Sybil?
There's something I've been wanting to tell you, ma'am, for some time. Something I believe you surely want to know, even if it isn't exactly my place.
Well, what is it?
It's about the little colored girl, ma'am. The one that got hit.
Yes. What about her?
I'm sorry, ma'am. It was Mr. Deegan's little girl, Sarah.
What? Oh, Sybil, no.
The neighbors tell me she's doing just fine.
Oh, that poor, sweet little girl that... How in God's name could you not have told me, Sybil? This was weeks ago.
Mrs. Whitaker, please don't be cross with me. I didn't want to make things any worse.
Sybil, do you know where Mr. Deegan lives?
I believe he's been at his father's old place on 12th and Governor.
12th and Governor, thank you.
Are you going there now?
Please, keep an eye on the children. I shouldn't be too long.
Mrs. Whitaker.
What?
Would you like me to go with you, ma'am?
No, I'll be fine. Thank you, Sybil.
Raymond sitting up with his daughter.
Who on earth? Yes?
Raymond, I just heard. Just this instant, I heard and I jumped into my car. How are you? How is Sarah?
We're fine. Thank you. Would you meet me around the side?
He closes the door and puts on his coat.
Sarah, everything's all right here. It's just going to be out for a minute, okay?
Okay.
At the side of the house.
Raymond, what you must have been through. What's being done to the boys?
Nothing. I won't put her through that again. Not now, not with rocks coming through the windows every night.
Raymond, that's hateful.
Well, it's not whites throwing them. It's coloreds.
No.
Yeah. Seems to be the one place where whites and coloreds are in full harmony. Anyway, we'll be out of here soon enough, once and for all.
You moving?
Yeah.
Where to?
I have a brother in Baltimore. Says he can find me work there. So we're packing up the house. 2 weeks Friday, we'll be on a 4:30 train heading south.
What about your business, your shop?
Well, the business is through. Nobody's gonna hire me. So I'm gonna sell the shop to a cousin of mine. Yeah, things are pretty well finished for me here. I never lived anywhere other than Hartford.
Perhaps sometime in the future, after you're settled, I could... Perhaps I could come for a visit. See Baltimore? You see, I... Well, it seems as if I'm to be single again.
Oh, Mrs. Whitaker.
Please call me Kathy.
Kathy.
No one would know us there.
I'm just not sure that would be a wise idea. After. Well. Everything that's... What matters now. What has to matter the most is what's right for Sarah. I've learned my lesson about mixing in other worlds. Seen the sparks fly. All kinds.
She turns away, and he puts a hand on her shoulder. She touches it with her own.
Have a proud life. A splendid life. Will you do that?
He leans over and places a lingering tender kiss on her hand. She runs off. Later, she's lying on her bed sobbing, bathed in moonlight. She slowly starts to sit up. She gets to her feet and moves towards the telephone.
Hello.
Kathy, did I wake you? I'm sorry to call this late. I hope I didn't...
No, I was awake.
I didn't want to upset the children.
No. No, of course not.
How are they, by the way?
Fine. Just fine. They still ask when you'll be coming home.
I know. That's partly why I'm calling. Really, I got a call from Dick yesterday, and he said that everything was set, papers drawn up, and he wanted to know how Thursday was for you, 3 o'clock sometime. I told him I thought you had carpool Thursdays, but I wasn't absolutely certain, so I said I would check.
I never could remember my carpool days. And they've always been the same. Wednesdays and Fridays, as long as I can remember.
Oh, Wednesdays and Fridays, right. Same old absent-minded.
What time did you say on Thursday?
What?
The appointment, what time?
3 o'clock. That was it. Really, I know it's late.
It is.
So I'll see you on Thursday then.
See you Thursday.
Goodbye, Kathy.
Frank is in the blonde man's bedroom.
Goodbye, Frank.
The net curtains billow in the breeze. Now Kathy's looking at her checkbook.
$67.32. What day is today?
Turning her calendar and realizing it's Friday, she looks around, sadly. Later, she walks down the stairs with an envelope in her hand. Sybil's cleaning the floor.
Oh, Sybil, you don't need to do that.
It's Friday.
I know it's Friday, but there's so much to be done now, I can hardly expect you to be polishing tables.
No reason not to keep things up. No reason at all.
I know.
Don't forget the grocery list.
Thank you. I don't know how on earth I'd ever manage.
She goes to the cupboard and puts on her winter coat. She looks in the mirror as she pulls the collar around her neck. In the pocket, she finds her lavender scarf. She unfolds it and, with a sad expression, pulls it over her head.
I shouldn't be long, Sybil.
All right, Mrs. Whittaker.
She goes out and closes the door behind her. Later, Kathy rounds the corner of a busy street in her car.
are we turning in here?
I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
Now stay put, both of you.
She hurries into the station.
All aboard! Southbound train to New York and Washington. Now's the call. All aboard!
Kathy starts walking along the length of the train. She looks up through the windows at the passengers inside.
All aboard!
Ready to go? That's right.
She moves forward, trying to follow the sound of Raymond's voice. Suddenly, he appears at the door to tip a porter.
Here you go. Thanks.
She steps forward and their eyes meet. He smiles at her and rests his head on the doorway. As the train starts to edge away, he raises his hand and waves. He mouths, "Thank you," as she looks back at him sadly. As the train moves along the platform, he turns and looks back at her. She tries to smile, but is holding back tears. They exchange a final wave as he disappears into the distance. She's left alone on the platform as the remaining carriages pass her by. She continues looking along the tracks for a moment, before finally turning away. Beneath the glowing station lights, she walks back along the platform. Now outside the station, she continues to her car. The sky is overcast and dull as Kathy climbs in. The car pulls away and joins the traffic on the street. As the car disappears up a hill, the white and yellow blossoms of a tree become visible. The end. For Bompi,